This is the Ultimate Attorney Podcast, the podcast for small law firms who want to create a thriving legal practice. Each week, we'll uncover the ways that you can improve your referrals, your marketing, and your business operations, helping you to generate more revenue and elevating your life and your law practice. In each episode, we'll tap into some of the closest guarded secrets from industry titans, thought leaders, and legal specialists. We're glad that you've tuned in. And once again, it's time to help you become an ultimate attorney. Hello and welcome back to the Ultimate Attorney Podcast. My name is Dre Redfern.
And I'm Alexis Neely.
And if you haven't listened to the first couple episodes yet, we strongly recommend that you go do that because it really helps to lay out what it means to be an ultimate attorney and why we are really the right people to help take you down this path to really reduce, mitigate, or at least eliminate the overwhelm that many attorneys may feel when it comes to transitioning from where they are in their legal practice right now to really becoming and living the ultimate attorney lifestyle and loving their life and their law practice again. And so today in this episode, Allie and I are really excited to walk through the topic all about money and how you can use money to really craft the ultimate attorney law practice for you.
That's right. And I almost feel like I want to start singing a little bit. It's all about the money, money, money. But I'm not much of a singer. I'm much better at helping you become an ultimate attorney. So last episode, we told you to focus on four things so that you can get really clear about where to put your time, your energy, your attention, and your money. And that first of those four things was, how much do you want to earn? And this can be such a stuck place for us as lawyers because we've been taught that we need to be billing our time in 6-minute increments. Everything's about, you know, am I charging $250 an hour, $350 an hour? And if you haven't noticed yet, you really don't have enough hours in the day if you're in private practice for yourself to build a practice that allows you to have a life that you really love on the back of the hourly billable. Have you noticed that yet? And I'm curious, Dre, if you have seen that with the lawyers that you work with.
Yeah, I think that realistically, this new generation of attorneys who are coming through have, you know, at least heard of maybe flat fee or value billing as an additional way to bill their clients for their services instead of just the billable hour. And I think that the billable hour is scary. I mean, when you really break it down and you think about it, that you have to work X amount of hours to receive Y amount of income. Mm-hmm. And there is no variable. There is no leverage. If you're not working, you're not getting paid. And frankly, in order to build any sort of business that's worthwhile, that scares the living heck out of me.
Yeah, it really should. I remember when I was working at the big law firm, they were billing out my time at $400 an hour. And honestly, it made it really hard for me to even want to get clients at $400 an hour because I knew that I was going to have to tell them that that's what my rate was. And I was, you know, first, second year associate. I didn't really feel like my time was even worth $400 an hour. So it made it really, really hard to go out there in the community and market my services. And so as a result, some of you are trying to deal with that by charging $150 an hour or maybe $250 an hour. But when you really look at the reality, if you've got your own practice, the number of hours that you can actually devote to doing billable work, to doing the work that you could bill your clients for, well, frankly, there's just not enough hours in the day because you've got admin, you've got marketing. If you want to get clients, you got to be out there educating your community, marketing in some way. You've got to be doing the admin piece because probably you haven't hired anybody, or if you have, you're still doing a lot of the admin work because you don't know how to train them. And then there is, of course, getting hired by the clients, and then there is serving the clients, and then there's the continuing education piece because we can never stop learning. And if you took up my gift from the last episode, you got my Money Map program. And if you went through any of it, you'll see if you go through the time piece where you start to look at your time and how you use it. At the end of the day, in order for you to make money in your own practice, you're going to have to give up the hourly billable because it's just not going to work for you to be able to have a life in law practice and have it be your own practice and bill hourly. So one of the things I want to check in with you about, Dre, is, you know, do you talk to lawyers who seem to have some problem with giving up the hourly billable, or are most of the lawyers you're talking to excited and ready and just looking for the right way to do it?
Yeah, I don't think excited would be the terminology that I would use. Most people are deathly afraid of giving up the old guard or the old way of traditionally how making money, the billable hour. It's almost viewed as unpredictable. Whereas a billable hour, you work an hour, you get paid for an hour. You work an hour, you get paid for an hour. You're like a machine. Mm-hmm. But creating this value billing or flat fee billing is often viewed as unpredictable. And I think the other side of that too is a lot of attorneys are really unsure where to start. So where do I begin? How do I create a flat fee or value billing system when my clients are used to this? I've had clients for 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years. Yeah. Why would they adopt this model when they're so used to this? Mm-hmm. And then really, unsure how to address potential peaks and valleys, because let's be honest, there's seasons to every business, or there's peaks and valleys during the year to every business. Mm-hmm. So how do you use value billing or flat fee billing to really address those peaks and valleys so that you can manage your cash flow, that you can basically sustain any sort of peak, any sort of valley that you may be experiencing inside of your business? And those are the stuff that I hear all the time. And it certainly doesn't come from a place of excitement usually wanting to adopt this.
Yeah. I love that you brought up the peaks and valleys. We call that the cash flow roller coaster. And it is truly enough to make anybody sick if you're stuck on it. It's that, like, you've put in all this work and as a result, you've been so busy working, you didn't do what you needed to do to bring in the next new clients. And all of a sudden you look at your bank account and you're like, I'm going to run out of money. What do I do? And how can you possibly hire a team if you're on that cash flow roller coaster? Because of course you don't feel confident that you're going to be able to pay them. And you just get stuck in this loop of not enough money, not enough hours in the day, not enough, not enough, not enough. And that really is enough to make any lawyer think, maybe I need to leave the law altogether. I do want to say something about that, though, because over the years, I have not only worked with lawyers, and I know you as well have worked with other business owners. Here's the deal. I've worked with all different kinds of service professionals. Dre's worked with all different kinds of service professionals. And what I've seen is you can leave the law, but you're not going to leave this issue. If you are having a problem with consistent cash flow and bringing in and knowing how to bring in what you need in order to support your life and your law practice, you're going to have that issue in any business that you go into. So unless you're going to give up private practice and you're not going to be the ultimate attorney and you're going to go work for a big law firm or a medium-sized law firm or just, another attorney and get a job and get a paycheck, you are going to have to face this issue. How do you bill for your fees? How do you get paid in a way that is totally sustainable for you? And I'm going to say it is not based on the hourly billable. So I want to really address that first and foremost to, make sure that the lawyers that are here that are afraid of that are recognizing it's a problem you have to solve no matter what you do, unless you're going to get a job.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because in my background managing a marketing and media agency and the history with over 8,600 law firms that we have in the insurance business, we have a bunch of other service professionals as well. We've got, a couple thousand CPAs. We've got tons of title agents, doctors, dentists. Very, very similar themes occur throughout any professional service. So even if you want to go leave the field of law and you want to go adopt some new business style or even a different section of the professional services world, Ali is 100% right. These issues are not just in the field of law. They're literally everywhere in the professional services sector. So
that's right.
If you do have friends who may not even be attorneys and want to share this episode with them, please do, because this issue really is prevalent across a lot of industries in the professional services world. And I think that almost is a good segue into the fact of, this problem occurs, across many different industries. But I think one of the, if we really back it down and we start back to the beginning of, you know, where does this come from? I think the question is, you know, why shouldn't you necessarily take every client that comes in the door? Are you just literally going to just, you know, open the door and get an engagement letter and really just funnel every single client through? And why is that not necessarily a sustainable model if you really want to grow your practice and make the money we're talking about?
Right. So this is really where it starts. If you are taking whatever comes in the door, of course you need to charge on an hourly basis because you don't know what's going to happen with each client that walks in. There's no way to systematize anything. You don't know what the outcome is going to be. In fact, the next client that walks in the door might present you with a totally unique issue that you have never dealt with before. So how can you possibly create an outcome and know what it will cost you to get to that outcome for the client? Yep. Right? So that's one of the very first things that you need to do right away. Say, I am not going to be a door lawyer anymore. No more door lawyers. No more door lawyers. In fact, because I know in your mind you're thinking, well, I have to take whatever walks in the door or I'm going to starve. Actually, it's the exact opposite. I don't know where that belief came from, but we need to get it out of your head and help you to realize that it is taking whatever comes in the door that will result in you starving. Instead, you've got to be really specific on either one of two things or both. Okay, so you got to write this down. You either need to be really specific on the outcome that you provide for your clients, the outcome that you provide for your clients. So that outcome might be a happy divorce. That outcome might be a completed stress-free bankruptcy and a fresh start. That outcome might be a certain kind of visa if you're in immigration. That outcome might be a resolved DUI with just a reckless driving on the record. That outcome might be keeping your client's family out of court and out of conflict if they become incapacitated or they die. Now, please notice, I didn't say that outcome is divorce, bankruptcy, immigration, criminal defense, or estate planning. What did I say? I said the outcome that your clients want. So that is shift number one that you're going to want to make, is get really clear about the outcome that you are providing. And then shift number two that you're going to want to make is get really clear about the clients that you're serving with that outcome. Right? So maybe it is keeping families out of court and out of conflict, and you're focusing on serving young families and business owners. That's who we focus on serving in our programs, personal family lawyer and creative business lawyer, young families and business owners. Maybe you are helping people have a happy divorce who are in the tech industry. There's a lot of people in the tech industry getting divorced. Do you think there's enough of them out there that they would want to hire you to help them have a happy divorce? Heck yeah. Right. So like, who are you serving? And when you get really clear about at least one, if not both of those issues, the outcome and who you serve, what's going to happen is that you can begin to package your fees based on that outcome.
And I think that, you know, jumping in there, I think that it's really understanding that outcome and understanding the potential that could be to leverage your time and understand, really redefining the way that you view your practice. Like Ali said, you're not a divorce attorney, you're not a PI attorney. You are really something that really transcends that particular area of practice. Mm-hmm. But I think it's shifting too from this idea of, you know, from scarcity of I've got to work X amount of hours to make Y amount of money, to that abundance mentality of, by doing this, I can help create that life that I want to, living my dreams, achieving my goals, all of these sorts of things that really can create a huge distinction, not only in the happiness quality, but at the income and, you know, money, because this is the money episode, for you and the practice as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when you get really clear about who you serve and the outcome that you provide, guess what happens then? Now you can create packages. right? Now you could create packages. And I have all kinds of lawyers of different practice areas say, well, how can I do that with divorce? Or how can I do that with immigration? Or how can I do that with criminal defense? You can do it. I've seen lawyers do it in each one of these practice areas. Certainly with bankruptcy, of course, with estate planning, of course, with business planning. With business planning, the great part is you can even have recurring revenue packages. That's something that we help the lawyers we train put in place. These recurring revenue packages ranging between $750 and $5,000 a month to be a trusted advisor to their business clients with very specific outcomes for the services that they're providing. So you can do it in just about any practice area. Now, I say just about because there are some where you can't. If you are a civil litigator and you're all about going to court, of course, we don't know how many hours that's going to take. We don't even know what the outcome is going to be. But if you are a civil litigator and you are focusing on helping clients get to resolution, now, there is actually something you could do to package your services. And I'd love to share a recent experience that I had where I had some clients come to me. They were in a conflict situation. And I actually structured my fee so that I shared the same incentives they did, which was to resolve the matter and resolve it fast. So what I did is I took a flat fee just to get involved, just to get involved. And if I recall correctly, it was a while back now, but I think it was $10,000. They're going to pay me $10,000. And that's to review the whole case, to talk to all of the parties that were involved, and to create a plan for resolution. And then if I was able to resolve the matter within 2 weeks, I got a bonus of $15,000. If
awesome.
I wasn't, I had to pay back $5,000.
Wow. That is a heck of a way to really structure an incentive. I love that.
It was so great because now we were all on the same side, get to resolution within 2 weeks. And believe me, I was incentivized to do that. And it was better for them if I did because it kept them out of court. It kept it from dragging on. They were both able to move on with their lives. And I was able to, at the end of the day, collect a great fee for an outcome that everybody wanted. So I really encourage you to start to think outside the box of this traditional hourly billable, 6-minute increments, in sending out invoices that are impossible to collect, thinking that you need to invest in all of these software programs to help you track your time and bill your fees, and instead start looking at how you can invest in the kind of technology, which we're going to be talking about in a future episode, that will allow you to automate and streamline your systems for communicating with your clients and for delivering your service instead of for automating your billing and your invoicing.
You know, on that topic, Allie, I want to share a story as well, because I think that a lot of it too goes back to what I was saying earlier with abundance versus scarcity. You know, I think mm-hmm. when anyone is new to any business, whether it's being a legal professional, whether it's growing some other business, we're all a little bit scared. We come from this place of scarcity, like I'm unsure how this is going to work. This is scary. I'm, you know, not thinking as big as we can. And when I started my marketing and media agency, I would charge clients a flat fee, $5,000, because I knew the amount of time and work I had to go into it to basically build various online assets for them. Well, I learned very quickly that that was, you know, I could leverage that and I could scale that to a moderate degree. But I also realized that if I were to make just a couple small tweaks, just like the ones that you were talking about, I could charge someone, instead of $5,000, I could charge them $50,000 for the same exact work with a few extra tweaks and maintain it for them, you know, going forward, a monthly, basically monthly maintenance more or less, and take 20% of the profits. So now all of a sudden, I was incentivized to keep going, basically ensuring that it was a profitable relationship for them and for us, and basically doing that going forward. Where, you know, if I wouldn't have had this mental shift, I would still be in that old model, just charging $5,000 per client. Uh-huh. Now, that's not bad money by any means, but by able to basically, you know, allowed me to 10x my income and have a passive income stream just by making a couple of tweaks in my business, just like Allie shared with you.
Yeah, and my guess is that the tweaks that you made had you be even more confident about the outcome that you were delivering. And so if you're just starting out right now, and you're not really confident about the outcome that you're delivering to your clients, start there. Look at how can you get the experience that you need or the training that you need to deliver an outcome that you really believe in for your clients. And then maybe you do start off with package prices or, you know, package services where the fee is lower. Maybe you start off, when I started off, my average fee was not $4,000, $4,500, or $5,000 for an estate plan. You know, maybe it was $3,000 because I wasn't really fully confident of the outcome. Like, I knew that I could, you know, put in place a set of estate planning documents, but I didn't have all the bells and whistles that I have now. I didn't have my kids' protection plan. I didn't have my family wealth legacy interviews for passing on more than their money. I didn't have their inventory of assets to make sure that none of their assets ended up in the State Department of Unclaimed Property. But as I, you know, built those pieces on and I began to see, wow, I'm really providing an outcome that is totally different than what any other lawyer is providing. I was able to create packages that showed the distinctions between what I was providing and what other lawyers were providing. And I was able to create a fee quoting system that actually allowed my clients to choose their own fee with me based on the level of service and the experience they wanted to have. So I think that's the next piece as well, is that once you are able to package the outcomes of your services, you can create a fee quoting system. I know we're all scared to talk about money in that initial meeting because, like, we don't know how to do that in a way that's really comfortable. And that's where we're going to lose the client for sure. But when you've got a fee quoting system and these packages, and you're able to guide your prospect into a relationship where they're actually choosing their own fee based on what's right for them, now you actually start to become a trusted advisor right from the very beginning. And they know that you're not just trying to shove them into a one-size-fits-all solution. You're actually empowering them. You're actually educating them to make the right choices for them. And they're in the driver's seat when it comes to how much they are paying. And that's absolutely critical as well.
So in the marketing world, I basically end up telling my coaching and consulting clients is that distinction piques curiosity. Because people either have one of two reactions for something that's different. They either are curious, they're piqued, and they go to it, or they go away from it. It creates a natural distinction between you and your competition. Now, ultimately, what this ends up doing is it brings the people towards you and your business that you want to work with and want to basically attract into your business, and it repels the people who don't necessarily want to work with you, or they want a very, you know, old school traditional model of just paying by the hour. And that is completely fine. And as Ali was saying a second ago, I think that it's really important. Two keys to growing any business are the two C's. It's confidence. So as Ali said, if it's just starting at a lower package point, maybe it's 2,500 instead of 5,000, that's great. Do 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 of those, whatever it takes to build your confidence, and then you can slowly start raising your price. Mm-hmm. And then the other side of that is congruency, basically being confident and then being congruent. So stay true to who you are. And if you really know that the value in your services are worth 5,000 or 10,000 or 50,000, whatever it is that you end up wanting to charge, staying true to that, because it's very easy. The second we get challenged, or the second we that a client pushes back on these sorts of things, to want to revert back to our old methods or our old ways of thinking, because that's just the easiest thing to do, because we feel like we have to do that to get the client or whatever the scenario may be. So build in that confidence, start growing it that way, and then stay true, stay congruent to who you are and the business and the model that you're really going to set up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And really consider, again, the outcome of the services that you're providing and how you can enhance the value of that outcome. And so speaking of, you know, enhancing the value of that outcome, one of the concepts that we want to introduce here is the lifetime value of your client. Now, this
is one
not
of my favorites.
Yeah, this was not something that I ever thought about when I started off in private practice. And because I didn't think about it, I was always asking myself the question of, like, how could I spend as little money as possible on my practice? That was my mindset. How can I spend as little money as possible on my practice?
And how'd that work out?
It was kept me in the cycle of never having enough money, because that's all I was focused on, is how can I spend as little money as possible on having this practice? And one of my teachers back in the day helped to completely shift my mindset around this. And the first thing that he did is he helped me to see that every client has a lifetime value. Every client has a lifetime value. Now, back when I was still in my lawyer mindset, my, you know, old traditional lawyer mindset, it's like, well, I don't know. What is their lifetime value is like whatever they hire me for. So, you know, if they pay me like $2,000, then that's their lifetime value. And the first flip that was big is even if that was true, which is a low engagement amount, by the way, like you, I know you can provide services that are worth more than $2,000 to the people that you're serving. I know it. And then if you want to provide low cost pro bono services to some people, fine, but make it really intentional because you're also providing high value, high quality services with a meaningful outcome to other people so that it balances out so you can have a great life. So let's say it was even just $2,000. Then he got me thinking about how much money would you invest, not spend, how much money would you invest to get that $2,000 client? Well, if, you know, I was profiting on that client, let's say $500, well, now I could spend up to $499 to get that client. And I would do that all day long if I had enough time, by the way, to serve all those clients. And we're going to get into time in our next episode, how you can actually bend time so you do have enough time. But once I really began to understand the lifetime value of the client actually isn't just that $2,000, or in my case, once I was able to really provide an outcome that I believed in, $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000, it was so much greater than that. It was actually the value that the client was paying me up front, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, plus all the referrals they would make to me when I provided them with a wow experience that they weren't going to get anywhere else. And each client probably referred me on average 3 of their friends and family because they had such a wow experience with me that they weren't getting anywhere else. So then that multiplies that by another 3 times. So now we're looking at, let's say, base of 4,000 plus another 12,000. Now we're looking at 16,000 just for that one client, that lifetime value. And then because of the way that we served our clients and kept in touch with them over time, and most lawyers are totally missing the boat on this, I imagine that you are probably too, those clients were then going to come back to me for service again and again and again. Now, in my field, what were the services they would come back to me for? Well, if they had a business, they were going to bring me their business work. If they had a death in their family, they were going to bring me that post-death administration. And I'll tell you what, post-death administration, if you're in an estate planning practice, that could generate a six-figure fee for you. One of the lawyers in our personal family lawyer program, Vanessa Terzian, she's regularly receiving six-figure fees to handle trust administrations and estate administrations. Whereas most lawyers who are doing estate planning, they're losing the trust administration or the estate administration. Why? Because they put in place a set of documents for a client. The client signs those documents. The lawyer sends them a binder. The client puts that binder on a shelf or a drawer. They never hear from the lawyer again. And then when something happens, their family doesn't know to go back to the lawyer, or they choose not to because no relationship was developed. And that income, that lifetime value is lost.
And I think that is insanely important to bring up. And you know, in this day and age, there are so many tools or softwares or calendaring systems or whatever it may be that are simply just very easy to make it, you know, at least inform you to stay back, you know, stay in touch with your clients, whether it's reaching out, sending them an email, dropping them a line and giving them a call, or, you know, if you're really going to take the time to write them a handwritten note. Now, some really cool technology that we're just seeing, you know, lately is that there are now handwriting printers where, you know, that's like a robotic can where you can insert your Mont Blanc or your Uniball or whatever it is that you want to use, and they'll literally write these things for you instead of just having those, you know, similar printers that make it just look, you know, look like a handwritten letter.
Right.
So, and we bought one of these, and it's unbelievable. We just literally put them into a system. We do a mail merge, and we send legitimate handwritten notes.
So cool.
All the time to stay in touch with our clients. You wouldn't believe the impact and the impression that makes. Now,
totally.
in my world, in the marketing world, I'm known as like the one of the direct mail guys. I absolutely love direct mail and just doing things differently because it's very easy for someone to send an email to try and stay in touch and even, you know, give a phone call that most people may not even take because it'll probably just go to voicemail. But creating ways, like Ali said, to stay in touch, to increase the lifetime value, increase mm-hmm. more referrals, or mm-hmm. even if you brought them in as a client, finding ways to stay in touch so that they mm-hmm. know that you're right there, you're their trusted advisor. In the event that anything happens, they can come back to you.
Yep.
And you know, we can link to some of the, those actual technologies in the show notes, but it's worth mentioning that, you know, this doesn't have to be overwhelming and technology doesn't have to be this super scary thing, mm-hmm. But it's definitely something worth keeping track of because the lifetime value is incredibly important.
Yep.
And so if you know what your lifetime value is and, you know, say it's $4,000 for your first year, you know, but you know that over the next 2 to 3 to 4 years, that client could come back time and time again, or they can make referrals. I would be willing to almost break even or take a loss on that client if I can really get great clients in the door. Now, I know the lifetime value of my clients down to the penny. So I know exactly what lead channels and distribution methods and online advertising and offline advertising and all the stuff that we don't really need to get into in this segment. But it's worth mentioning that, you know, as Ali said, if you're going to bring someone in to, you know, maybe it's a $4,000 retainer and it costs $3,500 to bring them in, well, you know, you're making $500 and that's predictable. And mm-hmm. when you can build those predictable, you know, ideas or concepts, revenue streams into your business, because you really know that that $3,500 that it takes to bring a new client in will result in 20 or 30 or 40 or six figures over the coming years, how often will you really do that? And the problem is that many attorneys don't take the time, the hour or two, whatever it may be, to sit down and map it out and really figure out and get a handle on what that lifetime value really is.
Absolutely. And really look at how you can increase that lifetime value. So what I'd love for you to do after this podcast is sit down with your notepad and really begin to think about, number one, how can you create an outcome that is high value to the people that you are serving, and then create a wow experience for those people so that they are happy to pay you a fee that you are thrilled to receive. And I'd like that fee for you to be a minimum of $3,000 to $5,000 on the first engagement, not as a retainer, but as an earned fee that you feel confident you can easily deliver on, and that provides an outcome that the people that you are serving really want. Like, they would really value it that much. Who would you need to be serving, and what would that outcome need to be? When you can do that, you can build a business, not just a law practice, that gives you control over your schedule. No more having to deal with opposing counsel that you can't stand and a team that you can't count on. Instead, you'll be able to build the law practice that you love as an ultimate attorney with a team you can count on, only working with clients that you love. So do this assignment. Don't avoid it, because it is all about money and money could be scary. This is the kind of money that you like to think about. So just think about it. What is that $3,000 to $5,000 or more? Maybe it's a $10,000 to $15,000, right? There's plenty of lawyers out there who are delivering an outcome on the front end that is certainly worth $10,000, $15,000, maybe even $30,000 or $40,000, but it's got to be a minimum of $3,000 to $5,000 on the first engagement for an outcome that is worth it to your client. So what is that outcome, and who is it that you need to be serving? What's true about them to be able to deliver that outcome in a way that is reliable, and you know that you could deliver that outcome every single time? And once you've got that really clear, what we're going to be looking at in our next episode is how to take back your time. Because when you know how to get to that outcome and use your law degree again and again and again and again to provide a really valuable client, a really valuable outcome to clients that you love to serve, what happens is now we can begin to leverage your time, energy, and attention in really meaningful ways, because money becomes easy to earn. Yeah, I could provide that outcome again and again and again and again. If only I could get enough clients, that becomes the easy part. Getting enough clients becomes the easy part when you know what the outcome is and who you deliver that outcome to. And I promise.
And it's leverageable.
Well, and the best part about scalable and leverageable is that you get to decide how small or how big you want to scale it. Yep. And that's really the key here. You might want to have a part-time practice where you're only serving 4 or 5 clients a month. You might want to have a big firm where you're serving 20, 30, 40, 50 clients a month. However you want it, we can give it to you, because that is part of the ultimate attorney way, is you get to dial it up or you get to dial it down. Here's what's not infinite, and I really want you to get this. What is non-renewable, not infinite, is your time, energy, and your attention. Once it is spent, it is gone. Okay? You are not getting any younger. I can tell you that because I'm not getting any younger. It is hard for me to believe that it has been 17 years since I started practicing as a lawyer. It's like really blows my mind. I have an 18-year-old daughter now. And I'm not getting that time, energy, and attention back. And neither are you. Once it's spent, it's gone. So in our next episode, what we're going to be covering is your calendar and how to totally take back control of your time. So if that's something that's exciting to you, make sure that you do the assignment from this episode and, you know, get into the money. Make it all about the money, just until the next episode when we're going to take back your time, energy, and your attention once and for all. Hey guys and gals, since today's episode was all about the money, 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 I have a gift for you that is going to help you to get super clear about your money situation when it comes to your law practice, exactly how much you need to make, exactly how many clients you need to engage each month, and at what average fee to be able to hit your revenue goals, and where to be allocating your time, your energy, your attention, and your money to be able to reach those goals so that you can make wise investments. And I'll tell you what, I didn't have this when I first started out in practice, and I was constantly freaking out about money as a result. But now, because I've got this cash flow forecast planning tool, I'm able to map out exactly where I am now, exactly where I want to go, and how to make the wise investments to get there. And I want to give you that as well. So go ahead and go to ultimateattorneypodcast.com and download the Law Practice Cash Flow Planner Forecasting Tool and use it so that you could see exactly what it's going to take to build the life and law practice you absolutely love so that you can be the ultimate attorney.